Good evening and welcome to Indie Radio News, the weekly radio news program from The Independent, a free progressive monthly newspaper and online news site based here in New York. We cover social justice movements and the issues they are fighting for, both here in the city and around the world. We are your hosts, Elia Grahan and Lydia McMullen-Laird.
President Donald Trump said that rogue killers could be responsible for Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance and that Saudi Arabia's King Salman strongly denied any knowledge of what happened to Khashoggi in a personal call between the two leaders earlier today. Trump also announced he will dispatch Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to Saudi Arabia and anywhere else necessary to get to the bottom of the suspected murder of Khashoggi. The journalist hasn't been seen since entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul 2 weeks ago. And President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump arrived in Florida today to survey damage from Hurricane Michael. More than 190,000 homes and businesses in Florida remain without electricity, along with about 120,000 homes and businesses in Georgia. The official death toll currently stands at 19, but local authorities told Indie Radio News that the death toll estimates are conservative and likely to rise in the coming days. Today is the fifth day without adequate cell service, electricity, and shelter in many hurricane-ravaged communities in Florida's panhandle. In Panama City, a group of iHeartRadio hosts, engineers, and their families rode out the storm in their studio so they could broadcast information to people without cell or internet service. The group nearly escaped being crushed by a giant tower in the back of the station that was knocked down by the storm. Reporter Samuel McMullen is on the scene in Florida and talked to radio host Tess Connell about her experience.
To sit there and watch the roof bob up and down like the lid of Tupperware that's about to pop off while you're holding your 16-month-old son. We're really lucky that that tower that bent and flew the other way, if it had been on the other side of the building, because of the way the wind direction was, it would have fallen right on our heads. We got so lucky. And driving around and seeing all these trees that fell in the middle of people's houses and they didn't get lucky. It's like they were, you took a baseball bat to a tin can. That's how they look, crumpled. And I can't believe we got so lucky to get out of it the way we did without any damage or very minimal damage to our building and no one hurt.
Since Hurricane Michael hit last week, the radio station has been aiding search and rescue efforts over the air and letting people know where they can get food, water, gas, and medications. In other news, Senator Elizabeth Warren released a DNA analysis today that shows she has Native American ancestry. The analysis is a direct rebuttal to President Donald Trump, who has mocked Warren's ancestral claims and repeatedly referred to her as Pocahontas. The Massachusetts Democrat and potential 2020 presidential contender challenged Trump to make good on his pledge to donate $1 million to charity if she provided proof of Native American heritage. The pledge was caught on video, but Trump falsely denied ever making the offer.
And in local news, dozens gathered in Folly Square on Monday morning for a rally in support of the Separated Children's Accountability Response Act, or SCAR Act. This legislation would give New York accountability and oversight of agencies receiving separated children. Ravi Ragbeer was amongst those congregating. The executive director of the New Sanctuary Coalition was one of the first to speak in the rally.
And we need to come together because it is not just about immigrants. It is not about immigration. But this administration, this president, it's about anyone who is brown and black. So every single person who was born here, who have lived here for generations. If you're brown and black, you are going to be attacked.
I am Claudia. I just got informed that my child is here in New York and that I am only going to be able to talk to him for 10 minutes.
El niño ya lo tiene el gobierno hace 4 meses. Yo ya no sé ni qué hacer. Yo ya di las huellas, ya me las volví a tomar 2 veces. Ya pasé lo de lo económico que te piden para que estés en... en la casa. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been doing my fingerprints twice and they keep losing them. I have complied with all the monetary that they are asking me to provide them and they just don't know when I can have my child.
Lo único
que les pido es no castiguen a nuestros niños. Ellos no saben del sistema de su gobierno.
She's only asking that they don't punish the children because they don't know about this system. Very cruel system.
The NYPD said they will arrest 9 members of the far-right group Proud Boys involved in a brawl outside a Republican club in Manhattan on Friday. The club hosted a speech by founder of the group Gavin McInnes and drew a group of anti-fascist protesters. Proud Boys is a self-proclaimed fraternity of Western chauvinists, which the Southern Poverty Law Center has called a hate group. A video by independent journalist Sandy Bacom, released Friday, and footage released by the NYPD today shows members of Proud Boys violently assaulting several people after the event. New York public advocate Letitia James said in a statement, "I am disturbed and disgusted by the videos I've seen of members of the neo-fascist, white supremacist Proud Boys group in hate-fueled mob violence in the streets of New York City. New York will not become the next Charlottesville, and we refuse to let the actions of a hateful few define our city." The NYPD arrested 3 of the anti-fascist protesters on Friday involved in a separate incident and was quickly criticized for failing to arrest the Proud Boys members involved in the brawl. Anti-fascist protesters have also been accused of vandalizing the club ahead of the event by spray-painting anti-fascist graffiti on the doors, gluing the locks with caulk, and throwing bricks through the windows. For more on this story, we are joined today by Shay Horse, an independent photojournalist who covered the protest on Friday and witnessed the altercation firsthand. Shay, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you saw outside of the Republican Club on Friday and what happened there?
Sure. Yeah, I got there about 7:30, and I was waiting for the attendees to leave. And as the attendees leave, it just, you know, got stranger from there.
So describe the altercation to us. How did it take place?
Yeah, as the Proud Boys were leaving the event, instead of taking the path all the other attendees went, which was they left the Metropolitan Club and went to Lexington Avenue, the Proud Boys went out and went to the left and went to Park Avenue. The NYPD moved barricades and such for them, so it seemed to be like a deal they had arranged. The Proud Boys went on to Park Avenue and went down about a block before the attack happened.
And who were they attacking, and how many people were there in this incident?
Yeah, when I got there, when we got to the corner, I looked to my left, and I already saw just, you know, bodies on the ground and people rushing at people on the ground. So I tried to run over and get some, you know, pictures, and it just, you know, got, you know, worse by the second.
So you were saying the NYPD was at this event. Can you describe how they reacted to this altercation, this brawl that broke out?
Well, yeah, the fight had gone on for about a minute, and then the NYPD rolled up on scooters. There was a few scooter cops, and the cops were just kind of watching, you know, slack-jawed, and I had to go over to one of the cops and just, like, half-yell, "Do something!" And that made a cop get off his bike and kind of almost run into the crowd with his arms flailing, saying, you know, "That's enough, that's enough." And then the Proud Boys tried to make it look like it was their idea to leave. So they, you know, packed up shop and left. And the NYPD just let them go.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Indie Radio News on WBAI 99.5. We're speaking with Shay Horse about an altercation between a far right group on Friday night and some anti-fascist protesters. Shay, you've been covering the far-right demonstrations as a photojournalist for a long time now, and you said when we spoke earlier today that you haven't seen anything this bad since the protests in Charlottesville last year. So what do you think about this type of thing happening in New York?
I mean, you know, the violence in Charlottesville, that's not the only place it's gotten violent. You know, there's been really bad fights in Berkeley, Portland, Seattle, so in a weird way, I think this is kind of just that kind of violence spreading to, you know, other cities and becoming, you know, more of a thing. You know, when this kind of violence gets to go, you know, unpunished, it just spreads and festers and becomes worse.
Were you surprised to see this happening in New York?
Yeah, I was surprised. I kind of figured there'd be a confrontation of some sort, but I never guessed something like that. I thought it was just going to be, you know, coarse language and, you know, hooting and hollering.
Right. I talked to Sandy Bacom, the photo journalist who got the video of this altercation earlier today, and she said that she thinks this escalation is because of Trump's rhetoric. Governor Cuomo also linked this specific event to Trump. Do you agree with that assessment, and what do you think the role is that Trump plays in inspiring these types of actions?
I mean, it's not just Trump. It's the Republican Party pushing more and more hard right rhetoric. So it's not just a Trump problem. Now it's a Republican Party problem of just them, you know, constantly pushing these guys who are, you know, either straight up white supremacists or borderline white supremacists. So this is a problem that's been going on for a long time. And this is, you know, the chickens coming home to roost. It's, you know, they keep trying to escalate things and things are going to get worse because they keep trying to escalate things.
So what do you think about the NYPD response to this now? Is there anything else you're calling for after having witnessed this event?
I mean, they could have stopped the fighting in the first place. That would have been the best response. This just seems like damage control and, you know, the NYPD saying we don't want to get sued again.
Thank you so much for joining us, Shay. If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Indie Radio News on WBAI 99.5. Next, we'll be speaking with about the Small Business Job Survival Act with organizer Marnie Halassa. Stay with us.
Welcome to the second part of Indie Radio News on WBAI 99.5. After reviewing Friday's incident with the Proud Boys and the anti-fascist groups, we turn now to the Small Business Job Survival Act, a piece of legislation that was first introduced in June of 1986 by then council member Ruth Messinger. The purpose of this bill is basically to protect successful businesses from closing down due to skyrocketing rents. This act is also known as SBJSA, and it was recently reintroduced by council member Yidanis A. Rodriguez, and has the support of 15 out of 51 council members. This act, which is aimed at helping small businesses such as retail, non-for-profits, performing arts and theater groups, manufacturing and service businesses, amongst others, survive in the current New York real estate market, also proposes a vacancy tax for landlords that are keeping spaces empty, looking to rent them out at higher prices. The hearing for this proposed legislation will be next Monday, on October 22nd at 1 p.m. in City Hall. To talk more about the Small Business Job Survival Act, we have Marnie Halassa on the line. Marnie runs Red Eye Coffee in Chelsea, which, by the way, makes delicious coffee. I was there last week. She is a lawyer, journalist, and professional figure skater. After running for city council last year in District 3, she started the Community Control of Land Use to collectively organize small businesses and tenants against intrusive development and give the public a voice in land use decisions. Hi, Marnie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Elia. How are you?
It's great to have you. So, Marnie, can you walk us through a little bit about, in your experience, what it is to have a small business and the challenges that you face in a city like New York, where real estate dictates the market and where businesses are just constantly sort of crawling up and looking for spaces to open franchises?
Right. Yes, it's very challenging. And the one thing that we're kind of experiencing right now is, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, I got to say it in a nice way. But really, it's we're being rent gouged by our landlord. And we are trying to work it out, but we're probably paying almost a third more than what is usually per square feet. We're paying probably a third or even more And then now what we're experiencing is that our landlord is trying to make us pay probably $400.
How long have you had the coffee shop?
We've had the coffee shop for 2 years, but since our lease is due now, now our landlord wants to increase it by $400, $500.
Right.
And, you know, we feel like we're in a chokehold because when we look at other existing spaces nearby so we could keep our business, the spaces are even more expensive. So kind of the landlord has all the rights. We have absolutely no rights. So, you know, for us, if we had the Small Business Job Survival Act, it, what it does is it gives you a 10-year lease at an affordable rent, the right to renew that lease, which is really important, and also binding arbitration so you and the landlord can come to a rent that's actually reasonable. So if we had those three things, that would make all the rights, and small business owners would then have actual rights, which is what we need, and which is why all the businesses are basically going by the wayside.
Right. Well, I would like you to talk to me a little bit about what can we find next Monday when I assume you're planning on going to City Hall to the hearing. What will we find there? What type of protest? And also, you're going to be challenged by the Real Estate Board of New York and by New York Bar Associations.
And yes.
Yeah, their central opposition is
about,
bring it on. Their central opposition is saying that this is more of a state legislation, not so much of a city legislation, and also that it completely sort of doesn't back the landlord. What have you to say with these obvious responses that you're going to find there?
I mean, people say this, but this is the Small Business Job Survival Act legislation that city council is going to vote on. So city council has jurisdiction. So they can pass it. If they can pass it, it'll apply citywide to all the businesses. So I think that argument is, you know, kind of silly. But I think what I plan to do is I plan to have a press conference. I reserved the steps of City Hall at 10 a.m. And really, this press conference is about, of course, you know, we can say that the Real Estate Board of New York is the bad guy. Well, you know, listen, I don't expect the big real estate industry, I don't expect them to do us any favors.
Right.
But I do expect the city council to really advocate for the public. So what I'm trying to do is really pressure city council to say, hey, listen, you know, I know you get your real estate contributions, and I know you want to run for office and you want to be a careerist politician, but listen, you're here to do a particular job, which is to advocate for the community. And right now, there's like 1,200 businesses a month that close, in addition to 8,000 jobs lost for New Yorkers. So we're in the middle of a crisis, and they need to do something. And also, furthermore, what I'm hearing now is that the real estate folks are going to talk first at the public hearing instead of the victims, instead of the small business owners that are you know, losing their leases and losing their economic livelihood. You know, we should be the ones that speak first. It shouldn't be the Real Estate Board of New York. So already you have people like the Small Business Congress who wrote the bill. They're already like boycotting the hearing, saying it's a sham hearing. Now, listen, I have my background as an Occupy Wall Street protester.
Right.
So to show up and protest is in my DNA. So I'm going to show up. But, you know, it still bothers me that a lot of other activists are worried that this is a sham hearing.
What do you hope to achieve with going on the steps before the actual hearing? What is it that
I really hope to bring a lot of small business owners so they can actually talk to the media and get their stories out. You know, that when you lose your lease and you lose your economic livelihood, and then you also have a city council that's not really fighting for you, that's an unfair world. And I think all of us need to figure out, like, what kind of city do we want to live in? Do we want to live in a suburban strip mall? Like, did I come to New York to live in a cookie cutter suburban strip mall where there's skyscrapers and there's no small businesses? I didn't come to New York to do that. And also, I have friends that are almost like, you know, why am I here? You know, if it's like this, you know, maybe I should move out into the city. I have a lot of artist friends that came here to start businesses, to be in an artistic environment. And now, you know, you feel like you're like, you know, corporate land.
And have you tried talking to your landlord? Has there been any way to like negotiate?
I mean, actually, we're in discussions now. And what I'm hoping is that we will be able to work something out. And, you know, I'm, you know, really whatever they want, I'm going to have to give it to them.
Right.
So, it's not the best position to be in because I don't have really any leverage. But I do want to work it out because our small coffee shop, Red Eye Coffee, really has become a destination spot in Chelsea. It's really small, but it's really intimate. Everybody comes to see my husband, Peter. I mean, you know, he knows, you know, the grandkids' names. He knows when people are going on vacation. People simply love him. And there's that community feel, and I think New Yorkers are desperate for that.
Yes, yeah, and I corroborate that because I was in the morning in your coffee shop, and it was mesmerizing the amount of people who would come in.
I know, it really does.
It was really
coffee,
nice.
The coffee's also amazing, I have to say. So it is really good. And now we have a pumpkin spice latte, and turmeric lattes, and matcha lattes. And,
well, for our listeners,
green tea brownies, and it's like, you know, my husband's like, you know, he's a foodie, and, you know, everybody just loves the place, so...
Well, I wanted to ask you one more thing. And for our listeners who are just tuning in, we're talking to Marnie Halassa at the Indie Radio News on WBI 99.5. Marnie, one of the last questions I wanted to ask you is, even if this SBJSA would actually pass, there's a number of challenges that small businesses still have to deal with. So, for example, gentrification, rezoning, street redesigns, which might leave you inactive for a certain amount of months. Do you think that even if the SBJ, if the Survival Act would actually pass, you could still survive, even though there's other challenges?
Listen, I think it's really, I mean, I know people talk about a lot of other things, but really to the small business community, when I talk to people, and I talk to people in Queens, whether it's Manhattan, whether it's Queens, whether it's the Bronx, everybody talks about one thing, and then it's all about the rent. If you have affordable rent, you can survive. I mean, other measures that would help, like if city council wants to, you know, they're talking about lowering the commercial tax or lowering, you know, water and sewage rates, or whatever they're talking about. Other measures are, you know, fine, but the three things that cannot be doctored is the 10-year affordable lease at a fair rent and the right to renew that lease and binding arbitration if the two parties are negotiating a new amount of rent. But those three things cannot be watered down. It's that simple.
Right. And I just wanted to ask, do you know what collectives and organizations are going to be present at court?
In my press conference, I think also at the hearing, I think, you know, Community Control of Land Use, which is my organization, Stop Rebney Bullies, which is Ray Rogers' organization, Human Scale, Lynn Ellsworth's organization, Take Back NYC, Save NYC. I mean, those are like the big organizations. Anti-gentrification that want to save small businesses. So the thing is that I think, I mean, I know the Small Business Congress who wrote the bill is boycotting the hearing. I think, for my press conference, I mean, they're going to show up
right.
For the rally and the hearing. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but I think, I mean, hopefully they'll show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marnie Halassa.
Yes. But you know what I was going to say? Any small business owner that wants to come and have your voice heard, I mean, you can come to my press conference, which is Monday, October 22nd at 10 a.m., but also come to the public hearing, which is at 1 p.m., and try to get in line and speak. And
right.
I think that's really, really important.
Well, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for having the time to come on. To follow up the story, The Independent will be publishing, well, has actually already published an article about the Small Business Survival Act, and will be present on the 22nd. So you can follow that on independent.org. Thank you, Marnie.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. You can catch us every Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM for all the latest from Indie Radio News. You can find this month's print edition of The Independent at our outdoor news boxes across the city and in local libraries, independent bookstores, and social movement centers. Follow all our latest coverage online at independent.org. That's Indie with a Y. And via social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter. Let us know what you think of today's show. Send news tips or to find out how to subscribe to The Independent's print edition, we can be reached at 212-904-1282 or contact at independent.org. Thank you so much to WBAI for hosting our show, and see you next week.